Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
Health Matters, a program for those who are sick and in need of a physician of body and soul. You're listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Juliana Krieger, and this is Health Matters. In this show, we look at the psychological, social, and spiritual implications that illnesses have on patient and family. In the first half, we speak to Dr. Andrew Nicholson about the practical and more physical implications. In the second half, Pastor Lynn Hansen considers the spiritual struggles that chronic and terminal patients face. But both doctor and pastor hope to do more than that. They also want to give guidance and comfort to the weary and burdened soul and to remind them that God is with them and for them, no matter what comes their way. Last week, we spoke about cancer. Thank you all for your emails, comments, and questions. Today, we'll talk about another stressful condition for both patient and family. Our topic is dementia. We welcome back Dr. Andrew, with whom we will be discussing the medical aspects of dementia. Dr. Andrew, please explain to us simply, what is dementia?
Dementia really means brain failure. We've all heard of heart failure and kidney failure, but essentially the brain itself can fail. The causes can be various. We've all heard of Alzheimer's disease, which is where it seems there's some various strange proteins interfere with the brain's functioning. But also there's small vessel disease where people get atheroma, which is clogging up of arteries, interfere with the brain itself. And there's also other strange illnesses called Lewy body disease, where people's dementia seems to present as a belief that there are people out there getting to them. Dementia is not going to the top of the stairs and thinking, where on earth have I put my something other, or why have I come up here for? This is something that just hits people ordinarily. This is more about a gradual failure of memory. We all can remember things that occurred in our childhood. Those have been put down in memory long ago and are easily get-attable, recallable. But dementia is where those things that have occurred just recently that are put on a, if you like, put on a shelf in the brain to be put into long-term memory storage are no longer able to be put into that storage. And so we forget them. It's rather akin to dreaming. You know, when you wake up and you think, what on earth was I dreaming of? I can't remember. Well, that is what being demented is like, forever waking up and not remembering anything, being unable to explain anything. Dementia itself can occur gradually, and sometimes it can occur quite quickly. It seems to be more and more prevalent simply because we're living longer. The life expectancy seems to be going up 2 or 3 years per decade. And those people who I saw when I first started practicing 30 plus years ago as being old are now almost middle-aged. And reaching 100 seems to occur for several of my patients.
What are the need-to-knows about dementia?
Well, dementia is inexorable. If it starts, it will continue. The path it will take will vary in that some days and weeks will be better than others, and that drugs can hold it back for a short while. But it is inevitable. It will continue. And that all you can really try and do is come to accept that that is happening. And the acceptance is the difficult part. And also manage things in a concrete way. In other words, make sure they're toileted properly, they are fed properly, and that their environment is as good as it can be for them. But the major problem is just being able to look and see the physical loved one that you knew once upon a time but realize they're no longer here. That is the most difficult aspect of it.
What is the best environment for a demented person to live so they can be treated?
Initially, it is always best to leave people in the area, in the environment they're most comfortable with. If you take confused people out of their comfort zone, they get aggressive and more difficult to manage. So wherever possible, look after them at home and put in support there. It is also essentially cheaper. But eventually, people find they can no longer manage this because, after all, the spouse of an elderly person is old themselves and no longer physically able to do all the heavy lifting and caring that people need. And also, they have only a finite ability to cope. There are various things such as crossroads societies that enable carers to manage caring so that they have time out for themselves, because looking after a dementing patient can be very, very tiring and exhausting. So eventually, once people become doubly incontinent and or aggressive, they need to be managed in a more secure environment. That can be a residential or a nursing home. And these can be very expensive because quite often these people almost need one-to-one management. And so we end up having to consider problems about cost, which can be quite distressing for everybody. In fact, if you talk to the elderly who are not dementing, they see that that which they've created in their lives is there to be handed on to their children. And to hear that it's going to be used for their own care is something that makes them quite angry.
What are the practical steps to be taken sooner rather than later in the case of someone with dementia?
One of the important things to do is to come to terms with what is happening. The belief that, you know, changing the doctor, changing the advice, using various strange drugs or going to strange quack remedies will not help anything. Quite often people delay moving people into residential nursing home care because they promised their relatives they would never let it happen. Unfortunately, those promises were made in sunnier days when the facts weren't known. I think quite often you have to tell the patient's relatives that you have to change the way you think when the facts change.
In your role, doctor, are you able to provide any spiritual care? And who is it directed to?
Well, it's primarily directed to the relatives and loved ones around the patient. However, this doesn't mean to say the patient needs to be ignored. They need to be cared for with compassion and love. That is especially important nowadays with residential and nursing care, which can be of variable quality. However, it's the relatives who need help. They need the support of a good spiritual advisor. Certainly going to church and getting the help and support of a congregation is important. Also, there are, as I mentioned before, there's associations such as Crossroads that can help people get some time out. But it is the inexorable day in, day out exhaustedness that people need help with. And the congregation in a church is probably one of the best ways of managing that.
What essential practical actions do you advise people to take when faced with dementia?
Certainly, the important things to do is to make sure that those things that you've put off are no longer put off. You need to make sure you're spiritually in the right place. You need to make sure you've written a will, that your bank accounts are straight, that you've said the things, you made your peace with the people you want to make your peace with.
Dr. Andrew, what is the validity of medicating a patient who is being cared for in a home and whose condition is escalating? Is it worth it?
The problem with the medication used is that they are essentially a cosh. They're a way of controlling their aggressive and confused and confusing behaviour for the benefit of the others in the nursing home. The problem is that the drugs themselves have a danger to them. There is an increased risk of having a stroke while using them. And there's the question as to whether we have a right to knock people out, to sedate them for the benefit of the other members of the nursing home. A better way of managing things is to make sure that the staff in the nursing home know how to manage the elderly confused patient, and also that there are enough local, adequate, elderly, mentally infirm beds available. Because after all, if they're no longer being able to be managed in the nursing home, they should go to a elderly, mentally infirm establishment. However, if quite a lot of these establishments are seemingly fairly unpleasant places because the nature of things is that they tend to have a lot of demented people in them, and the relatives may find it difficult to accept. However, the view is now that we don't have a right to knock our patients out.
To what extent are the needs of the family, such as wanting to avoid their own distress, put before the need of the patient in terms of the care they receive in a home with respect to medication and such?
The problem is that they are still in a way caring for the patient as they were. They're thinking of them as a thinking, sentient human being rather than their needs as exist at the moment. Also, it is quite difficult to come to these decisions. Nursing homes where they've been for several years can be very pleasant, and they are used to the people they see and speak to. And to move to a more elderly, mentally infirm institution can be quite difficult. And this is one of the problems of general practice. We end up having to balance the needs of the patient versus the needs of the relatives.
What is the most important thing for the family to consider of a patient who is being cared for by others?
I think the important thing is that they should be asking the questions of the nursing home that are basically around the needs of the patients, not of themselves. So often they end up giving the nursing homes a lot of grief and trouble rather than actually thinking about what is right for their patients.
Thank you, Doctor. I'm sure this has been as informative to our listeners as it has been to me. We will take a break now, and when we come back, Pastor Lynn Hansen will speak to us of his experiences in the spiritual care of people affected by dementia. Stay tuned, because there's more to come. We'll be right back after these messages.
Let's find out why people go to Bible studies.
They really helped me to understand what the passage is all about.
To understand all that the passages mean.
Being with other people and discussing various verses.
Because it gives me a chance to get deeper into God's Word and to think out what I really believe.
Pastor, why are Bible studies important?
Bible study is so important because we go to God's Word because He speaks to us through it.
Through the study of the Bible, God provides comfort and guidance for life. Go to Lutheran.co.uk to find a Lutheran church that is closest to you and join your local Lutheran Bible study group.
Bible study, great food, great fellowship, and you even get to learn a little bit about God.
Since 1962, Westfield House in Cambridge has been preparing students with the knowledge, attitudes, and skills necessary for the ministry of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and its proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. As a centre of theological studies, it also seeks to serve the Lutheran Church, both in this country and overseas, by the promotion of Christian learning at all levels. Westfield House provides theological education within the framework of a confessional Lutheran perspective and offers resources that further the understanding of that perspective. Westfield House also offers the only significant Lutheran library in the country. Find out more about Westfield House on the internet at www.westfieldhouse.org.uk. Westfield House, the Theological College of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of England.
The value of Sunday school by those who attend Sunday school. Here's Gabriella, aged 11.
I absolutely love Sunday school. It's both educational and fun. And you get to learn all that our Saviour Jesus did and does for us. In my congregation, the younger children listen to stories from the Bible and make arts and crafts based on the lessons. The older children read from the Bible and write down the key events. Then they talk about them with the teacher's guidance.
But don't take Gabriella's word for it. Bring your children to Sunday school and let them find out for themselves. Our Sunday schools are all about Jesus and to all God's children. Find out where your nearest Lutheran congregation is on lutheran.co.uk.
We are back with Health Matters. And now Pastor Lynn Hansen speaks to us about the spiritual care of people affected by dementia. How stressful does dementia get to both patient and family?
A very difficult challenge for chaplains is providing spiritual care for demented patients. Often I ask myself, how do I, as a hospital chaplain, spiritually care for demented patients who sit all day either in their wheelchairs or in a chair or lay in a bed muttering what appears to be or sounds like gibberish? How do I provide spiritual care to their loving spouses, their children, and their families when in their minds the real person they knew and loved may have died long ago? What meaning and support can I, as a chaplain, a spiritual caregiver, give them? To begin with, we must ask ourselves, what is dementia? What kind of enemy are we up against? Dementia is a general term like the word aircraft. One of the most common types of dementia is Alzheimer's disease. Alzheimer's is a type of dementia like a Boeing 767 is a type of aircraft. Dementia frightens people. I believe that older persons today are more afraid of dementia than they are of cancer. Most people know of other people who beat cancer. Nobody beats dementia, and that is frightening. What frightens most people is that they can't seem to communicate with a person afflicted with dementia. Demented mix up their sentences. Their memories appear scrambled because they can't remember the past, nor do they have a sense of the future. Most people don't know what to say to them. Researchers in dementia care remind us that a person with dementia is a person with a spirit, feelings, will, personality, a life story, and they live in the present moment only. Research And personal experience affirms that behind the mask of dementia, the person we once knew and loved is still there. Occasionally, we see glimmers of that person. Those occasional glimmers are manifestations of the person from long ago. One example is the elderly patient who recognized her child, smiled, and spoke clearly for a few minutes, only to revert to a nonsensical state. Another patient, at a musical program, this person had advanced Alzheimer's, and as the music played, they spontaneously tapped their feet and hummed along with the beat of the music that was popular 50 years ago. At religious services, demented persons respond positively to the prayers of their childhoods, reflecting their joy in being able to participate in an experience which still has meaning for their lives. Just today, I talked to a demented patient who didn't know why he was hospitalized, how he was doing, how long he had been there, and many, many other details. Yet, he recalled going to church as a young boy. He remembered farming. He shared for the longest time some of his memories of farming and going to church and just childhood memories. According to the National Institute of Health in Washington, D.C., a chaplain's ministry to persons with dementia, often the Alzheimer's type, is vitally relevant to the demented patient's clinical well-being. No physician, family member, or chaplain should ever think that because someone is demented, they can no longer be reached spiritually. While it is true that few scientific studies exist to back up this claim, clinical experience and anecdotal accounts suggest that selected pastoral interventions can enhance the quality of life of the mildly, moderately, and even severely demented individual. I think a couple of examples have already been provided. The woman who recalled her children, the man who tapped his feet along with the music, and the individual that I saw just the other day who recalled his boyhood going to church and farming. Previously, as a parish pastor, I continuously emphasized using the same liturgy every Sunday during the services and memorization of scriptures. Why would I do this? Well, in my experience, people well advanced in years, plus demented people, recalled what they learned years prior. When conducting private communion services or praying familiar prayers with them, often they joined in. Previously, they said little or nothing that made sense, but they recalled what they learned at an earlier age. So it is with those whom I currently visit. They recall what they learned in years past. Recently, one patient, who hadn't spoken or even appeared aware of anybody's presence near him, responded when the chaplain came in and announced their presence. The patient had not attended worship services in years. Yet, when the chaplain introduced himself, the patient asked, "Chaplain, will you pray for me?" Visiting a demented patient is more difficult than visiting other patients. When I visit a patient, the usual line of questioning goes something like this. How are things going for you today? How long have you been hospitalized? Did the doctor say when you'd be going home? Where is home for you? Has your family visited? Do you belong to a specific faith community? What can I do for you today? Demented patients don't have a sense of time other than the present. They don't recall the past. They don't realize there is a tomorrow. So asking the usual questions is fruitless and may cause them to become anxious because they realize their mind is not working right. I once visited a very gentle and loving elderly woman in a nursing home, and by mistake, I mentioned to her or corrected her when she said that her husband was coming to visit that her husband had passed away years ago. In her mind, he was still alive, and he was coming to visit her. She had to go through the whole grieving process again, that her husband died. When visiting a demented patient, I focus on the moment, on things in their immediate surroundings, and on their present thoughts. The California Lutheran Center for Spirituality and Aging suggests the following list of needs that persons with dementia have. This list may help guide visitation with and ministry to persons with dementia. According to the California Lutheran Center for Spirituality, persons with dementia need to feel connected, to have a sense of belonging, to feel competent, to be able to share, to be useful, to be respected, to be successful, to be appreciated, to be loved and to love, to have a sense of control, to have a sense of hope, to hear about God's love for them, to hear words of comfort and assurance. Basically, as a chaplain, when I visit demented patients, I tell them of God's love through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior for them. I assure them. I speak words of comfort, and I come to be physically near them, to provide that comfort that only somebody nearby can give. Providing spiritual care to a demented person really isn't that difficult when you come to think of it. As a chaplain, and as I said at the beginning, it's often frightening going in there and talking to these people, but realizing they are just people. They want to hear the same things other patients hear. They want to be loved. They want to be appreciated. They want to know that somebody cares. And the chaplain is one who comes and gives them the assurance that, yes, they are cared for and they are not forgotten.
That was Pastor Lynn Hansen speaking to us from St. Paul, Minnesota. Thank you, Pastor. We'll come back with you and Dr. Nicholson next week when our topic will be sexually transmitted diseases. Please send your comments, questions, and suggestions on our show to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. We'll do our best to reply to every message. The podcast of this show is available for download from our website, lutheranradio.co.uk. You will find us under Program. When you're there, take a look at our other shows and stay tuned. Goodbye for now, and God bless.